Next 2 weeks, I want to have us look at the life of one man recorded in Scripture, the prophet Jeremiah. For those of you who know me, know that the prophet Jeremiah plays a very special role in my heart. 4 years ago, I was reading through the Old Testament. It was just one of those times where I was working my way through. And I came to the book of Jeremiah. And have you ever come to a particular book at a particular time where you just couldn't go any further? The truth, the insight, the impression that this passage or this book has on you is overwhelming. I was captivated. There's a couple more back there. I was so enthralled in this man and in his life and in the words in there that I just found myself really going through a revival in my life. And it happened to come during the summer where I actually had more time to study. Isn't it interesting how these things happen in our life when we actually have more time to reflect and to write and to read, that we open ourselves up for the Spirit of God to really work in our life? Maybe that's an indictment against the busyness of our lives. Well, it happened that summer, and I found myself spending hour upon hour upon hour. I remember one weekend, Tim went away out of town, and I just found myself reading and writing for hour upon hour. It was amazing. I don't have that happen to me normally in life. And I want to share with you some of the things that really stand out from him. One is the particular time, the period of time that happened. I see so many similarities to our society right now. Dr. Hill spoke about the book of Chronicles and hope deferred. And that happened many years after the book of Jeremiah. Really, Jeremiah, and we'll look at this a little bit more, takes place in a period of time where there was a real hardness of heart. This little nation of Judah, with Israel as its capital, so to speak, was just surrounded by the Assyrians. And you would think that they would just be clutching, holding on to God with everything, and yet they weren't. They were going after idols. And there were false prophets that were crying out, peace, peace. There's peace all around. And yet Jeremiah said, but there is no peace. And he came down, and Jeremiah stood amidst this situation, armed with truth. And really, that's the bottom line. Truth incarnate. I mean, we're looking at that in the life of Jesus. There's no better example than the life of Jesus. But what the prophet Jeremiah gives us that I don't think any other prophet gives us is an insight into the interworkings of the prophet himself. You see that in Jeremiah more so than I think any other book, any other prophet in Scripture. You not only see truth, but you see this man struggle with truth. And how do you put these things together? And so maybe as an umbrella, I'm looking at the prophet Jeremiah, but really deeper down, we're looking at how do we as humans live in a world with truth and allow that truth to interact in the world. That's such a huge topic, isn't it? And it's something so relevant for us and how we live out our lives. On the back of your sheets, I've given you a timeline because I know that there is no way that I'm going to work through the whole book of Jeremiah in 2 weeks. In fact, just in the half an hour that we have, there's so little that time for us to really get into these things. So I'm going to just kind of pull out a few bits and pieces here and there. I've kind of randomly split the life of Jeremiah into two parts. One goes from chapter 2 to 20, and the next one goes from chapter 21 to 45. Now, there's more chapters beyond 45, but those are oracles against the nations. And in those chapters, you don't really see as much the life of Jeremiah. And that's really what I want to focus on in this study, is the life of Jeremiah. the heart of a prophet and his God. And that's the beautiful thing about Jeremiah, is that you don't just see his life, you see the very character of God. What a beautiful thing for anybody to have said about them. Well, let's begin by talking about the whole idea of a prophet. What's the nature of a prophet? And I want to kind of elicit some of your responses. What is the nature of a prophet? What are some of the first things you think about? Yeah. I'm sorry? Okay, to tell something that's going to happen in the future. Yeah. Okay. Brings the words of God. Okay. Good, good word. Anything else come to your mind? Yeah, Dan? Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's true, isn't it? You see that so much. That this one man was called to stand in the midst of such an immense situation and to deliver truth. Chris? Right. Good word. Those are some good summaries right there. It's generally we can think of someone who speaks for God. It's almost like the press secretary of the president, right? In some ways, that this press secretary is sent before all the people to deliver the word of the president. Maybe that would be a contemporary image for us to think about in regards to the prophet. Prophecy in 2 Peter 1:21, this was an interesting passage. Prophecy not found in the will of man, but as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a good statement right there? That prophecy begins with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is really the active agent in this ideas of truth and issues of truth, of issues of repentance. Of encouragement, of all these different things, roles that the prophet plays. And we need to remember that prophecy, issues of truth, do not arise within the heart of man, humanity, but carried along by the Holy Spirit. Listen to these words in Luke 24. This was said of Christ, and we're going to talk about Jesus Christ being the prophet, capital P. These are some interesting words. I think they were spoken by the men as they were walking along the Emmaus Road. And they said, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. I kind of like that synopsis. Powerful in word and deed. It's not just lip service. And Dan was kind of alluding to that the prophets actually often lived out things that God asked them to. Just crazy things, right? I mean, they just did some, they were commanded to do some things that are unbelievable. We just shake our heads. And that shows the value of truth incarnate, that it's not just words, but it's a living out of truth. And often they were asked to do things. And that's that word and deed before God first. And I like that. And before all the people. So those are some some general overviews of truth, let's look at our contemporary world. Is there a contemporary prophet? Are there prophets in our day and age? What do you think about that? I don't want to spend a lot of time getting into the whole gifts of the Spirit necessarily in this, but to think through, is there a role for the prophet in today's society? Yeah. Okay, great. Any other? Yeah. I happen to think of someone like Chuck Colson. And I don't know if I would say Chuck Colson's a prophet, but isn't it interesting how with his story and the way that God has used him, he really is somebody that stands in our world today and speaks issues of truth very clearly. Any other thoughts on that? Some interesting examples, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. That's a good word. There's a certain fascination with prophecy, with the whole foretelling idea of the future. And I think we get caught up on that. And that's why I kind of wanted to lay the basis of what a prophet is it's really grounded in issues of truth, issues of repentance, issues of the words of God. And that's for the sake of my study and what I want to spend time with, I want to stick more to that because I really see a need for us looking at the prophet or issues of even ourselves as prophets around the whole center of truth and speaking the truth amidst the world. And maybe get some of your reactions. Is there a role for us ourselves to live out issues of the prophet in our world? What do you think about that?
I wonder if you would make room in your definition or English, make room in your definition for those who speak out, say, on political issues or world issues, such as global warming.
I'll tell you, my own reaction to that is that I think I think we have dichotomized in our world today spiritual and secular in a real unhealthy way, such that we've actually increased the secularization of the world. So I think that there are some issues of the environment and some other political issues that have a spiritual undergirding, that there is a role for speaking out those issues. Maybe deeper than we want to get, whether they would be prophets, I guess maybe in some way they would. I guess it all depends on our definition of that. But I think there are some truth issues that would be my position that go beyond the overtly spiritual realm, but that are deeper. Yeah. It's a good thing for us to think about, and I think a deeper issue is there a spirituality that goes beyond the categories that we normally think of? And I guess I don't want to head too far down that path because of all the other things that we want to look at. There were three roles in the Old Testament: that of the prophet, the priest, and the king. Those were the three main roles in the Old Testament. Do we see those in the New Testament? What happened to those roles? What happened when we moved? Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? So we see Jesus. We see all of a sudden he comes along and we see the prophet, capital P. We see the priest, capital P. We see king. We see all these different things. How does that play itself in our lives, that we have Jesus Christ in our lives then? What does that mean for even those functions of prophet, priest, and king? We talk about the priesthood of all believers, don't we? We think of Revelation, I think it's 1:6, where we become a kingdom, a nation, and a kingdom of priests. But we don't see that the prophethood of all believers. We don't talk in those terms, and Scripture doesn't talk in those terms. But is there a role to be played out, the fact that Jesus Christ within us, abiding in us, living in us, that we play out that function, those functions of the prophet? Yeah. Yeah, thanks so much for saying that. In fact, that's exactly the area, the pathway that I'm going, and that'll show itself out. Chris. Mm-hmm. Thanks. That's a good example. And that brings up my next question is, what does truth do within us? And how does it interact with the world? And that's, Chris gave an example right there in Galatians 6. Can you think of any other passages in Scripture that talk about that interplay of truth incarnate through Jesus Christ in our life and how we interact in the world? See. The high priestly prayer, Jesus says, they will hate you. That's exactly what you're talking about. And yet, are we commanded to then just say, okay, since they're going to hate us, we need to kind of pull out. Let's rally together, you know, pull all the wagons together. No, there's this tension of living and identifying with the people. Any other passages, Dan? And that's one of the interesting things we'll see in the life of Jeremiah, that in issues of repentance, for Jeremiah, it started with himself. And there are numerous times where Jeremiah was laid before God, and God says, if you, Jeremiah, repent, and if you begin to utter worthy things and not worthless things, I will use you. And Jeremiah 10, 23 and 24, Jeremiah cries out, correct me, O Lord. Correct me. And it needs to begin. You look at Psalm 51, David and his own repentance with the whole thing. And then he says, as you work your way down there, then I will teach sinners their way. So it begins in yourself, and then it moves to humanity. That's the movement of truth. And one of the thesis statements that I want to share is that truth is never stagnant. Truth is always on the move. And it begins in our own life, and then it moves to the corporate body. And it moves outside the corporate body. And the beautiful things about truth. Any other passages that you think of? Whoa. Let me share. How about the metaphor of light and darkness? It's a beautiful metaphor. Listen to these words in Ephesians 5. For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. I like that, but rather expose them. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I think of also the metaphor of the aroma of God in 2 Corinthians 2, that we are the aroma of God, and Christ has made us the aroma of God to those who are perishing and to those who are saved. To the one, we are the smell of life. To the other, we are the smell of death. That's us. That's because Jesus Christ within us. That's a reality, a truth statement for every one of us. And moving beyond the distinction or the label of prophet, we all carry out that function of being issues and being people of truth in the world. And think about that tension. When I was young, I remember my brother worked as a chemist at the high school, and he brought home these chemicals from time to time, and we would go down to my bathroom. It was always my bathroom. I never figured that out then. But we'd go down to my bathroom, and we would play around with these chemicals and see what they did. And one time, he built this huge pile of something, and he lit it. And it started to shake, and then it stopped. And we said, what? Boring? And we kind of turned our backs. Maybe we were playing around with something else. And then we heard something behind us shaking. And we saw this thing, and it was just going like that. All of a sudden, boom! This green fragment was all over the bathroom, covered ourselves. And just that whole, you're putting two things together. When you put two things together, sometimes the tension, the dynamic, the explosive quality of those two things. And what I want to share about is the life of Jeremiah, that he was yoked to God and yoked to humanity. And when you take those two things and you put them together, they are not at peace. And they're not, they don't just exist nicely. And that reality is true for every one of us, that we are yoked to God and we are yoked to humanity. And when we put those two things together, I am scared with everything within me of what that looks like. And I've lived some of that out. And it has left me nights literally shaking and crying for the sake of these people that I love so dearly. When I was a youth pastor, I just lived years unable to sleep at night because I was thinking of these kids that I loved so much, that the pain in their life and the darkness in their life. People in our own family that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is so hard, and you love them. You're so yoked to them. You're so wed with them, and yet they don't have the truth, and you do. And what does that look like in your life? Do you see how these things start being put together in the life of a prophet, in the life of us? And they have explosive qualities about them. And Jeremiah lived that out. I think there is truth to that. I think of Jim Elliot, he often said, I want to be a fork in the road to people. That fork that causes them to make a decision. And that is what truth does for us. I mean, truth came into my life and it made me make a decision. And sometimes we're going to be those, that aroma of death to people, and I don't like that. That is not a function that I would choose. If I could choose, I would be only the smell of life to people. But I'm not given that choice. And sometimes a very hard, powerful role that the prophet plays, and Jeremiah played his whole life, was to be the smell of death to people. And he hated it. Because he was not this hard-hearted person who didn't care about his surroundings. He loved these people with every ounce that he had. You see Jeremiah 16, you just see his tears flowing from his body. You hear other times him saying, I wish I was never even conceived. I wish I was never born. Because what I'm asked to do is far greater than I am. And it wasn't that he chose to do it. It was that truth chose him. And that's the way it happens. The further I get along into my life, my earlier years, I saw more my action that I became. I chose to be a Christian. I accepted Jesus into my life. I did these. The older I get, I see more and more that I really was chosen by God. That it's more his actions, that he captured me, that he grabbed hold of me. And that's not to elevate myself or to say anything great, but that's the truth for all of us, that we have been captured by God. And Jeremiah, you see that so clearly. Let's look at one passage in Jeremiah's life that Jeremiah 20, you're probably familiar with this. This is one of the more well-known ones. I don't want us to finish today without looking at least one passage from Jeremiah. And then next week we'll cover the whole book. So, look at Jeremiah. Now the great thing about this, and I just laugh, okay? The beginning of Jeremiah 20 is there's this guy, the priest Pashur, and he has Jeremiah, he has him bound in stocks and beaten. Okay, verse 2, you says he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate. So there's already, the book, the chapter's not looking good for Jeremiah. And yet the way that he turns it around, he makes me laugh. Because as you work down like verse 6, and you, Pashur, and all who live in your house will go into exile to Babylon. He just left loose on this guy. But look at verse 7, because then he turns to the Lord. He says, O Lord, you deceived me and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I love that statement. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction, so that the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But here's the key right here, verse 9. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Right there you see God had captured him so profoundly, so entirely, so completely, that the mission that he was asked to do, no matter how hideous it was at times, no matter how terrible it was, he could not take himself out of that role. And that's a challenge for me and how I live my life. Now, sometimes we're going to be put in positions where we are that aroma of life. And that's great. That is absolutely reason to rejoice. But there are other times that we're put in positions where we're not that. We're the smell of death. How are we going to handle that? How do you put those things together? How do you live that out within you? Do you allow yourself to be so completely yoked to God that you cannot release yourself of the mission of living out the fulfillment of a prophet in our world today? Will we allow ourselves to do that? Or will we pull back and say, that's too much? I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. Well, I hate to say these words because they just get so deep into the core of my being, because we should and that other hand be so yoked to humanity that we love humanity, that we love the people that we are living with, that we love our family and the whole world, that we so want to have everybody come into the body of believers that it's overpowering in our lives. And yet Jeremiah had both, and he allowed them to live their way out. And I just pray that maybe in time that you're able to, you could even use this little worksheet as a way of walking through the life of Jeremiah and seeing, because there are many things that we're not going to get to, just how that thing, how it plays itself out. Because I believe that there's a role and a function of that for every one of us. Let me just go to the Lord and pray. Our gracious Lord, you are the prophet. You are our prophet. You have given us truth. You have spoken to us. You have given us your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. You have redeemed us, and as we just celebrated in this last hour, so completely, so wonderfully by your blood and your body, you have pulled us out. And you have clothed us in righteousness, your righteousness. And now, Father, we pray that you would also send us out into the world. Grant that we may be salt and light in this world. Grant that we may be able to see the influence and the impact of truth, how marvelous and how terrible at times it is. And we may humbly bend our knees and say, God, we do this because of you, as source, truth, and light in our lives. And we do it for your name, and for your glory.